Exodus chapter 15. And stand with me as we read the Holy Scriptures this morning. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will extol him. We're going through the Old Testament here at Trinity Baptist Church, and this morning we have come to the incredible book of Exodus, where we will learn that God is a God who saves. Please join me in prayer. Will you pray right now that God would open your heart, soften your heart, remove Satan's blinders from your eyes? Pray that the Lord would make your heart and mind good soil for the Word of God, that the Word would go down deep and bear fruit in your life, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Would you pray right now for the other people in this room? That God would open their heart, soften their heart, remove Satan's blinders from their eyes. Pray that God would make them good soil, that the Word of God would go down deep and bear fruit in their life, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Would you pray now for me that I would preach this sermon accurately and therefore powerfully? Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help me give these people an accurate and therefore magnificent view of the book of Exodus. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. As you know, we're going through the Old Testament book by book. Last week was Genesis. Today it's my privilege to show you the book of Exodus. You're already in 15. Please go back to chapter 2. Jacob and all his sons have moved to Egypt to be with Joseph, whom Pharaoh has placed in charge of all Egypt. But Joseph dies, and the Israelites multiply greatly. They start out with 70. They grew to probably about 2 million. A new Pharaoh arose who did not know Joseph, and he made the Israelites slaves. But God has an awesome plan to save his people, because God is a God who saves. Moses is born. His mother hides him in a basket and put him among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. Pharaoh's daughter discovers him and adopts him. After he grew up, he has to flee Egypt, and he lives in the land of Midian. While Moses is in Midian, the Israelites are still suffering as slaves. Look at Exodus 2, verse 23 with me. Exodus 2:23. Now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died. And the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. While pasturing his flock, Moses sees a burning bush. He stops and he looks, and God spoke to him. Turn the page to Exodus 3 and look with me at Exodus 3, 6 through 8. He also said, I am the God of your father. This is God speaking to Moses. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Trinity Baptist, look closely at verses 7 and 8 and learn three wonderful facts. God sees the affliction of his people. God listens to their cry for help, and God comes down to deliver them. Number one in your notes, the book of Exodus is given to us to teach us that God is our salvation. Amen? Number two in your notes, God sees our need, hears our cry, and responds. God sees our need, hears our cry, and responds. God sent Moses to save Israel, and God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to save us. God sends Moses to Egypt. He gives him two miracles to perform so the people will believe him. He sends Aaron with him. In Moses' encounter with God, God tells us his name. You're in Exodus 3. Look at verses 13. Then Moses said to God, Behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I'll say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moses says, I can't speak. I'm not eloquent. Look at God's reply, Exodus 4, 11. I love to hear those pages turning. The Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say." Moses says, "You want me to go talk? I can't speak." And the Lord's answer is, "Who made your mouth?" God calls us to be his witnesses. And he made your mouth too. Exodus is a great book about the sovereignty of God. God took control of the entire situation in Egypt. It's not like God's plan was messed up when Pharaoh didn't cooperate. Look at chapter 4, 21. The Lord said to Moses, "When you go back to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in your power. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I said to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But you've refused. Behold, I will kill your son, your firstborn.'" God planned the whole thing all along. He did not lose control when Pharaoh didn't cooperate. He hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he could demonstrate his power and glory to the world. Moses did as the Lord commanded. God gave Moses Aaron to help him. They went to Pharaoh. It did not go well. Pharaoh, instead of letting the people go, made their work more difficult. And Moses panicked. Look at chapter 5, verse 22 in the book of Exodus. "Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you ever send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he's done harm to this people. And you have not delivered this people at all.'" God had a plan. God had a plan. Brothers and sisters, sometimes when you or I step out in faith and obey God, things go very badly at first. Don't panic. God is in control. Why did the Lord rescue Israel? Why did the Lord rescue Israel? Turn the page to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 2. God spoke further to Moses and said, "I am the Lord, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they sojourned. Furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel because the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant." I have remembered my covenant. Why did God rescue Israel? Number 3 in your notes. Because God is faithful to keep his promises. God is faithful to keep his promises. Beginning in chapter 7, God pours out 10 awesome and terrifying plagues on Egypt. Brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist Church, we do not have time this morning to go through all 10. Because I promised you one book per Sunday. But you have got to read this section. You have got to read this section. Read it and watch how Pharaoh's magicians are embarrassed. Read it and watch how Pharaoh's magicians are defeated as they try to oppose God. Read this story, chapter 7 through 15, the 10 plagues, and get to know God as the God who saves. Throughout this time, God is in control. He's controlling the whole thing. to bring praise and honor and glory to his great name. Look with me at chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you and your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth.'" That's God's agenda right there. "For if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would then have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this reason, I have allowed you to remain in order," here's the agenda, "to show you my power and in order to proclaim my name through all the earth. Still you exalt yourself against my people by not letting them go." God is stringing the whole thing out to show his power. We learn something very important. Number 4 in your notes, it is God's will to display his awesome power and majesty to the world and to honor his holy name. This should be your agenda too. There is nothing more important than for God's name to be honored. This should be your agenda too in your life. The most important thing is that God's name be honored. At home this week, take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, and you will see this again. That God saves us to display to the world the awesomeness of his glory and grace and love. The final plague is awesome. The final plague teaches us about Jesus. God commanded the people to take a lamb, kill it, and put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and on the lintel of their house. Take a look at Exodus 12 with me, please. Exodus 12. Verse 12. "For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord." It's a fascinating study to look at the plagues from Exodus 7 through 15 and see that in the plagues, God is saying very clearly to the Egyptians, "I am bigger and stronger than your gods." Look at it as he counters the Egyptian god Ra and some of the other gods. "I am bigger and stronger than your gods." Study it. It's fascinating. The blood, verse 13, "The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." This is where the Jews get the celebration, Passover. God commands the people of Israel to kill a lamb, put the blood from the lamb on the doorposts. And then God says, "I am going throughout Egypt to kill the firstborn of every family. When I see the blood on your doorposts, I'm going to pass over your house. And I won't kill anyone in your family." That's exactly what God did. You're in chapter 12. Look at verse 29. "Now it came about at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon and all the firstborn of cattle. Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was no home where there was not someone dead. It helps you greatly as you study the Bible to put yourself in the shoes of the people in the story. Feel what they feel. Experience what they experience. No house in Egypt without someone dead. Pharaoh calls Moses in and says, "Get out of here." Brothers and sisters, it is so important that we read and study the book of Exodus. Number 5 in your notes. The story of Passover teaches us about Jesus. Number 6 in your notes. Jesus is our Passover lamb. Amen? Jesus is our Passover lamb. Just as the lamb was killed to save the people of Israel, Jesus Christ died on the cross to secure forgiveness for us. Number 7 in your notes. Jesus was sacrificed for us so that everyone who trusts in him is forgiven. Take a look at a couple verses quickly with me on the screen. 1 Corinthians 5:7, "Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened, for Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed." 1 Peter 1:18 on the screen behind me, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." God poured out his wrath on Egypt that night. A day is coming when God will punish the world for sin. But all those who trust in Jesus Christ will be passed over. We are forgiven and saved from God's wrath. Pharaoh commanded Moses, "Get out. Get out of here." But when Israel left, Pharaoh changed his mind. He got his army. He chased after them. God divided the sea. Israel passed through on dry ground. When the Egyptians tried to chase them, they were drowned. The people of Israel broke into song, and it is the song we read at the beginning of the sermon. Look at Exodus 15 again. Exodus chapter 15. Please turn there with me. "Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, 'I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will extol him.'" Trinity Baptist, this is one reason we gather together on Sunday morning. God is a God who saves. He saves us from sin. He saves us from hell. He has rescued us and delivered us by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. Number 8 in your notes. We come together Sunday morning to sing praises to the God of our salvation. At this point in the book of Exodus, the people began their journey. They can't find food. They can't find water. The people grumble, but God is patient. God provides for them. God gives them victory in battle. The people come to Mount Sinai, and the Lord gives the people the Ten Commandments, many other laws. The Lord told the people very clearly, I will bring you to the promised land. That land is filled with people. I will bring you to them. I will deliver those people into your hand. I will give you their land. And he tells them very, very clearly, do not worship their gods. If you worship their gods, they will be a snare to you. And we will see, Trinity Baptist, as we go through book after book of the Old Testament, that that is exactly what happened. Please join me in Exodus chapter 24. Exodus 24, verse 4. Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. Then he arose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain with 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. He sent young men of the sons of Israel, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood, put it in basins. The other half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient. So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. God made a covenant with the people, and Moses sprinkled the blood and said, this is the blood of the covenant. Does that sound familiar? Trinity Baptist, study the book of Exodus, and your knowledge of the gospel goes deeper and deeper and deeper. Take a look at Matthew 26. Behind me on the screen, Jesus is serving the Last Supper. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. After this wonderful ceremony, the Lord gave Moses directions for the tabernacle, the priests' sacrifice. The people tragically disobey God. They make a golden calf. Moses prays to God. God forgives them. In Exodus 33, we see the incredible relationship that Moses has with God. Please join me there. Exodus 33. Exodus 33:11. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself has not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. In Exodus 34, Moses goes back up to Mount Sinai. God gives Moses this marvelous revelation about himself. This, Trinity Baptist, is a phrase that God repeats over and over again in the Bible when God describes himself. This is what he says. Exodus 34, verse 6. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. You see how the cross brings this entire verse together. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. But, and he is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. The cross gives us a visual picture of these two verses. Number 9 in your notes. God is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. We receive another very important revelation about God later on in this chapter, Exodus 34, verse 11. Be sure to observe what I'm commanding you this day. Behold, I'm going to drive out the Amorite before you, and the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite. Watch yourself that you make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land into which you are going, or it will become a snare in your midst. There it is again. Look at verse 13. But rather you ought to tear down their altars, smash their sacred pillars, cut down their Asherim. For you shall not worship any other god. Why? You shall not worship any other god. He gives you the reason in verse 14. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Praise his name. God gives Moses more regulations, and a startling thing happens. When Moses is in God's presence, Moses comes down from being with God and his face is shining. The people are frightened. You need to read the story in Exodus 34. And then, brothers and sisters, this week, here's a Bible study challenge for you. Read Exodus 34 and then go back and read 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. And the book of Exodus will bring 2 Corinthians alive to you. After that, Moses gave some instructions about the tabernacle. The people build the tabernacle. They set it up. And at the end of the book of Exodus, the glory of the Lord fills the temple. And we are all set for the book of Leviticus. Please join me in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 talks about the people's journey in the wilderness. And he says that these stories in the Old Testament are given to us as examples for us. We need to read the whole book of Exodus. You and I need to read the whole Old Testament because God gives us the Old Testament as examples for us to learn from. In the book of Exodus, we learn things that God wants us to know. Paul talks about these days for the people of Israel. in 1 Corinthians 10. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Number 11 in your notes. God gave us the book of Exodus so that we would read it. The stories in the Old Testament provide instruction for us and examples for us to learn from. The book of Exodus was given to the people of Israel to teach them that God is a God who saves. The book of Exodus is given to the church to teach us that God is a God who saves. Will you pray with me, please? Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the book of Exodus. Thank you for all the important information we learn in the book of Exodus. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you for passing down this book. We pray that we would treasure this book, that we would read this book, that we would study this book, that we would know this book, and we would humbly receive the revelation of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.